Two men meet in middle age and discover striking similarities, both with World War II boyhoods in Central Europe, both immigrating to America in their teens and eventually settling around San Francisco. There was one major difference. Bernhard Rosner was born a Hungarian Jew and wound up in Auschwitz. Fritz Tubach's father was a Nazi officer, and as a boy, Fritz was headed for the Hitler Youth. A friendship did begin, however, and now they've co-authored An Uncommon Friendship from Opposite Sides of the Holocaust. When I spoke to the two, Bernie Rosner explained he and Fritz didn't really talk about their past at first, and then on a trip to Washington, Bernie visited the Holocaust Memorial Museum.
I remembered and knew that when we arrived in Auschwitz, my family and I, no records were kept. But I did remember distinctly that when I was transferred from Auschwitz to Mauthausen, I was logged in. I was given a number and a metal strip cut from a can with my number of 103705. So I asked the archivist at the museum if they had records of the logs of Mauthausen. They did, and they brought out a bunch of microfiche. And it was just a very defining moment for me when I reached 1944 and saw my name on that log, Bernhard Rosner, prisoner number 103705. It was then that I felt that I had to tell the story. That's when I confided to Fritz and we decided to write the book together.
That was a very important part of the book, is to leave some narrative trace that these people existed at all. There's no records, as Bernie said. So we didn't start the book with Auschwitz. We did not let Hitler, as it were, define the time frame within which we worked. We started with our childhood chapter. Also after the war, we wanted to show we individually became Americans and started our lives anew and made something of it.
The way that you portray yourselves in the book, Fritz, you write in the first person, I did this, and my father was in the Nazi party, and I left, and I came to the United States. Bernie, you write about yourself in the third person. It's he.
Yes, and there is a reason. Different people cope, and you have to develop some sort of a coping mechanism with what happened. And I coped with it basically after I came to this country by literally pretending that all the horror of that past happened to somebody else, that the Bernhard and my Hebrew name Baruch of Hungary and that time was a different person from the Bernie of the U.S. With that background, having my story told in the third person made a lot of sense and fitted in with this coping mechanism that I used to deal with the past.
Bernie, I wondered if you could tell me the story of your arrival in Auschwitz and what happened with your brother.
We arrived in Auschwitz early July of 1944. We were dumped onto the platform. There was shouting, there was shoving, rifle butts being used against people who didn't follow directions quickly enough. Total confusion, and we were having gone through an incredible ordeal in the cattle cars where several people had died and many others have lost their minds. We were dazed. And there was an announcement that the persons in charge of each car, and my father was one of those, were to report somewhere. And so he left us, and I never saw him again. The next announcement was that all women and men should separate because showers would be given. At this point, my mother became very frightened and said, I want you boys to stick with me. I, being a 12 and a half year old, I told my mother I wasn't about to take a shower with women. So she didn't argue with me, but said, whatever you do, stick with your brother. So that's the last time I saw her. And then we were in line with two SS men at the head of the line, and they were separating people. The people who were fit to work, who were old enough, healthy looking enough, were sent to the right, and those who were in effect designated for immediate extermination were sent to the left. My younger brother, who was just a little over 10, was in front of me in the line, and without question, unhesitatingly, the SS man sent him to the left. I followed my younger brother, and I was about two or three steps past the German when he grabbed me by the scruff of the neck, and he just shoved me over to the right. And it was that move that made the difference between my being gassed along with the rest of my family within the hour and my surviving at least that initial process.
You know, when Bernie told me the story of his Auschwitz experience, it dawned on me that the youth Nazi youth camps I was in were created out of the same spirit as the concentration camps. I was picked for a potential admission to the Adolf Hitler School, which was a training ground, if you please, for the future executioners of Hitler's will. And these camps were also set up in a way to classify us as those who will survive or become leaders and those who will be losers. Just to give an example, we were lined up facing the sunset and we were making knee bends until some of the youngsters start collapsing. They were pushed aside and ridiculed. There's no comparison in experience, I mean, but the spirit of that is behind creating those camps, whether for executioners or those who were victims, was very much alike.
Bernie, you're talking about losing your father, your mother, and your brother. That is the kind of experience that you would think would leave one's life so marked that you wouldn't actually want to be friends with someone who was being groomed for the Hitler Youth as a boy.
Well, right after the war, I certainly know that I had very bitter, angry feelings. But I have adopted an approach and a philosophy over the years and realized that a person's ethnicity does not make him responsible for everything that other people of the same ethnic group or nationality have done. In fact, that type of thinking is the very basis of the horrible things, including anti-Semitism. Therefore, when by the time I met Fritz, the fact that he was of German parentage and the fact that his father was a Nazi really was no longer relevant to me.
Fritz, this must have given you some pause, though.
You know, in 1945, when I found out absolutely what had happened with a picture of the Warsaw mass graves, I decided right then never ever to identify myself with any group or any organization where I cannot see who controls the leverage of power. It made me over the years as an American, I call it progressive, some people have called it lefty, trying to present, in my view, political views, minorities and work for them. I would like to add one other thing, and I also speak not only out of my own experience, I also speak a little bit for the younger Germans that are now alive, who are just as innocent as any American who grows up today. We're now two generations down the road, and without ever forgetting what's happened, we now have to tell new stories in a different way that get us, you know, beyond the hate based on ethnic roots and ills done many years ago.
Well, one of the rewarding parts of this project has been the deep friendship that Fritz and I have formed. We do on occasion have disagreements, but they're almost always on the tennis court.
The other divide cannot be overcome. He would always oppose me on the other side of the net, and not always to my advantage.
We are both very competitive.
Bernie Rosner and Fritz Tubach are co-authors of An Uncommon Friendship from Opposite Sides of the Holocaust.